Hey everybody, and welcome back to the Lucky Dog Podcast. This is your host, Elias Roush. Today we have Money Heist, La Casa de Papel, the Netflix original, part one, season, well, sorry, part one, episode three. Sorry, there's so many of these stupid titled things that get all up in the way. Couldn't do seasons, they had to do parts. So, part one, episode three. So, we're going to do a little, quick little scene-by-scene today. So, the first scene really was a game-changer. The professor decided to release what his face looked like to the professor. The inspector. She borrowed the phone from the professor, and basically he does like a creepy little turnaround and knows exactly that, you know, her phone's going to be dying at this specific time because the professor knows everything. Sure, okay, sir. So it almost feels like he's trying to clown the cops and the officials. He wants to be on all sides of this investigation, just like every other crazy person that's in a crime. They want to know all sides. Once they kill the person, they want to go back to the murder. They want to go back to the place. They want to mess with the insides. So basically, we learned that it's 20 hours into the heist. 8 million euros are being printed an hour, and it's a total of 52 million euros printed so far. I was curious, couldn't the bills be tracked? I wasn't really sure, like, you can just start printing off money from, you know, the mint, and all of a sudden, you know, you can just run off with it, and it's all good. Like, I thought that all bills were tracked heavily, and they all had a specific serial code number, and they could be destroyed or, you know, not accepted in some places if they were found to be false. So, we get the thesis or the theme for this episode was, love is a good reason for everything to fall apart. And I was curious, who's gonna get jealous? Who's gonna get taken down? What's the go to? What's gonna happen? I also noticed that occasionally some of the dialogue, I've probably already mentioned this, the dialogue in the titles of what they're saying does not match up with the captions, and sometimes they just leave out complete sentences or something like that, and it's like they just said fuck it. So it's almost like if you don't listen to what they're saying and watch the captions, you could easily be left in the dust on a couple things. And occasionally they would say, you know, it sounded like they were going to clean up some of the captioning, because the captioning might say like jerk instead of bastard, but then it would say like fuck instead of screw or something like that on the opposite end of the spectrum. So it didn't really seem like they were trying to clean up the audio too much on the captions as well. So it's not like they were just having clean captions and dirty audio, or dirty captions and clean audio. It really is a dispersed mix. So anyway, continuing on, the douche guy has why do I never remember douche guy's name? I'm gonna have to find douche guy's name. Douche guy has a hostage explain the situation. And I thought that this was so stupid that the sniper was even considering taking a shot. Why the hell would he? Why would he think he can take a shot when they don't have the upper hand at all? And shooting one of the robbers was not going to solve anything. So I was like, hell no, dipshit! They're not gonna shoot. Following into the next scene, I thought it was a really cool camera shot with Inspector Morel. I don't know. We're gonna call him Morel. When she was entering her room, her daughter's room, the camera kind of pulls out and does a rotation shift, and also changes perspectives in the shallow depth of field to a wider depth of field, and it pulls back to see her daughter, and it's a really cool shot, and just the way it's framed and In the way it's shown, really cool. I think this implies that since that the daughter seems to be with her grandmother a lot, she probably doesn't get to see her daughter a lot. So it's nice to see that she has like a little nice touchstone. She wants to go see her daughter. Douche guy goes to his daily ritual of antagonizing the banker, who's named Altro. And I think the guy that plays Altro is a great actor. He's always like getting shit on. This is the third episode, and I think every episode he's had some sort of some sort of mental breakdown he's had to go through. Just the amount of stress this guy's probably being put under is probably tremendous, just in this one scenario. And so, I think he's doing a great job. So, following along, the robbers want to become more accommodating. They want to accommodate some of these hostages, and so they just decide, okay, we'll medicate some of the hostages. We'll, get you any day after pills, Plan Bs. Who needs to delete some nudes offline? Oh, you do. Okay, we'll help you out there. I mean, they're helping everybody out. I mean, I thought the nudes were a ridiculous reason to get on a phone to contact your parents. I thought that was kind of a weak thread. I can't find what her name is. No, don't see. Definitely don't see her. Sorry. Well, we're just gonna keep on calling her the high school girl with the nudes, because I guess she doesn't have that big of a filmography on IMDb. I can't find her. I don't know. If anyone has her, just send her in the Lucky Dog Podcast at gmail.com or add us at Lucky Dog Podcast on Twitter. Yeah, I really don't see her. So sorry. Yeah, she says I need to contact my folks so they can go delete a photo off of online. And I'm pretty sure she's topless or something like that with a dude in the bathroom, and it probably didn't even turn out that great for one thing. Like, I'm pretty sure that guy could get sued or something like that. Something could definitely happen. But I thought that was such a dumbass request to the hostages. Hey, we're in a hostage situation, but can I go delete some nudes? Well, yeah, I don't know. It was a ridiculous subplot. So then we got some of the robbers. They decide making the hostages drill and jackhammer, and I couldn't exactly tell what they were doing down there. Maybe making an escape route, according to Altro later. But there's also, skipping a little bit ahead, heroin with explosives either attached to them or in them or something. Drugs and explosives. They're at the bottom of the cellar of the mint, and so there's some sort of big master plan going on down there. So we could definitely got to keep our eyes and ears open to that. I really don't have anything big, may like ideas or predictions for that. Maybe they explode a tunnel so they could get through or something like that. That would be my guess. I don't know. So anyway, we hop on over to what's her face telling her folks about the topless photo, and I just thought that was all ridiculous. And then Tokyo walks in, makes a couple smart remarks to Rio, because Rio's kind of, he's giving the eyes at the one chick that has the photo problems. He's always trying to make her feel a little bit better, and then Tokyo definitely just feels, she's jealous. She's just straight up jealous. And so while they're having an argument, Rio and Tokyo are arguing. She's going in Rio's phone and kind of going through contacting the police in some sort of I think she's sending like a live feed or something like that. And the terminology that is being used with this old man is just so ridiculous. He's like, hack it, enhance it, and enhance, look in, research. And he's just using these big terminology, computer terms that are very generic for almost anyone. I guess they just, it kind of reminds me of, what is it called? The Bourne Old, not. One of the more recent Bourne movies with Matt Damon. They just have very easy terminology when it comes to some of the tech, so that it can be applied to almost any situation. But I thought that it was a stupid ass picture of Rio. This hops on over to when Otro and Pablo find the stuff, and find the stuff in the cellar, and then Inspector Morello's being pressured to be taken, being pressured to go hop back into the hostage situation. For some reason, she feels that after that hostage negotiation tactic that went a few hours earlier, she's just like, "Fuck it, I'm going home. I'm not doing this. I'm not dealing with it." And then all it took was one phone call from, I guess, one boss that said she's the best that could do without the least number of casualties. That means she can come through and give them the bee's knees and give them the work. Like, I'm not even sure that that would be possible for an inspector just to say, fuck it, I'm done, and then come back all in one session. If you're really the best, why would she even leave in the first place? So, I'm not sure if that's a pacing thing. I'm not sure if that's a writing thing. I'm not sure if I would agree with that, though. Anyways, it brings Morello back, and on the way there, like, one of the reporters asked her about a domestic dispute with with something that her boss had brought up previously, just very momentarily, in like an episode before. Like, why is that even being brought up? There's a bank heist, and you're asking the cop about some domestic disputes. I don't know. Is that It seemed like, I guess, maybe good coverage, but is that what people are looking for when they're on the news? If the personal lives of the news reporters, I mean, of the cops and the news reporters. I don't know. It was a little weird. I just thought they'd be focused on the robbery. So a call between the inspector and Inspector Morello and Professor. It was cool how they were getting ready for it. It was very cinematic how they, I always say cinematic, but I mean it was slow-mo. They had nice music kind of coming in, the nice fades, and for some reason the place that Inspector Professor Doctor Director, I mean there's sorry, it's so many names and titles. The place where the professor was calling from, wherever he is, it's like a wet cellar. Why is it so damn wet? Why is it so damn wet and slimy? I don't know. I feel like this guy should be working in a nice ass office or somewhere, corporate or something. But I don't know. He just seems like he's working underground, and he seems not to be that kind of guy. So I still want to know a little bit more behind the professor, because he kind of just acts so suave, and we don't know too much about him. So, anyways. This was a really interesting, I don't know, line, couple lines of dialogue that go between each other. They talk about faking an orgasm and how it compares to a lie. And it's a long way to get to a short scenario situation. Just it. Explaining what the hell's going on, and essentially it leads up to Inspector Morello running shit. She's like, this is how it's gonna go down, this is how it's gonna be, your shit's gonna be plastered everywhere, we're running shit. And it really looks like the inspector is in charge, and we haven't really seen the professor put down into this perspective, I guess, yet, because I guess he is really trying to get a feel for who he's working with. Um, Pablo and Altro begin freaking out about the phone in Altro's jacket in his office, and so that kind of plants the seed of where the phone is. That'll soon be found a little bit later. Douche Guy wants to execute a hostage as an example. So the professor and Douche Guy definitely have a conversation that says, no, it's not okay to execute a hostage. But yet, do we have an executed hostage at the end of this? We shall find out momentarily. In a little bit. In a wee bit. Altro tries to tell Monica that he wants to have that he wants them to have their baby. He's kind of flip-flopped over because of everything that he said. I'm pretty sure in the first episode we found out he was married, but I wasn't 100% sure, and that's kind of what the whole deal was with the abortion going down. But Altro is basically saying, you know, we got a phone, we can call the police, we can go do all this. You just got to go to the office and do all that. And as soon as he's explaining all of this, Douche Guy comes in and he's like, all right, who's trying to be a hero? Who's trying to go call the cops? Who's trying to get a phone? That kind of thing. And Ultra is just sweating a nut. He's like, he's like, not me. And it's definitely him. I mean, basically, he just stares him down the entire time. It's almost like a ritual just to make Ultra shit his pants once an episode. and we know next episode that'll be happening again. So they begin making some of the hostages strip, and then Rio comes up out of nowhere and says, hold on, I gotta tell you something, you know, I gotta explain the situation. And so this leads to Rio getting a real ass whooping and a weird discussion about Douche Guy's fantasy with his teacher that was a little bit older than him, and he had fantasies with her or something like that. I don't know, but Douche Guy has some weird fantasies with like older women and just women in general. He just looks at them differently, and he like hates women, but he neglects they when they neglect him, and then it just something about misogyny or something like that. I can't exactly put my thumb on what this guy's problem is, but he's definitely got something against women. And then other people on another level too. So yeah, he fucks up Rio. He basically explains how it all went down. Or sorry, Rio gets his ass whooped. And then it flashes over to the hostages receiving the medical goods. And I liked just the small adjustments, how since they're hostages holding guns or something, I think they're hostages holding guns. One of them has the guns kind of pointed up a little bit too high, so what the robber points it down, and just small adjustments like that kind of make the show feel a little bit more realistic than the average show. Like, I mean, if I was directing this, I probably wouldn't even think to have something as small as that. You know, like, oh, since you're not used to holding a gun, you shouldn't hold it right and might have just a slight hand tap just to adjust it. And it's just such a small detail that really works and it really thrives, and it shows that they are looking for something, looking for some real detail in their show. And I like that. Monica looks all sorts of sketchy when she's in the women's room and decides to scoop the phone. I don't know if this was believable. She looked all sorts of just she's like sweating so hard. I don't understand. I guess there's no air conditioning or something. And then Denver decides he wants to tell her about anti-abortion because of what he's been through. And I really don't want to talk about, you know, whether you should or shouldn't have abortions, because it's entirely a different podcast and a different subject. But I was really taken off guard by how strong this guy felt about anti-abortion, and I was not expecting that for this type of television show. So right before anything else, we flash back to the breakfast when the inspector Morello and the professor were there, and we didn't know the outcome of that breakfast. And she holds him down and searches his shit after she gets some real information, and she thinks that he's a recorder trying to catch some information. And to an extent, she's right. He is trying to get information, but not in the same way she's thinking. And so I was a little bit taken back from this. Was this a flashback? I'm pretty sure this was a flashback. So, because Morello definitely, sorry, not Morello, the professor says that, you addressed me at the diner or something like that. And so I thought that meant that they would have known what that the professor was part of the team when they were on the phone call with Inspector and the professor. I could have sworn the professor gave his background, his gave his identity up. So this flashes over to Denver and Monica having an anti-abortion talk. And Denver had his mom was essentially a drug addict, and she ended up spending her last few bucks on drugs instead of an anti-abortion pill, and he became Denver. And so he's a big advocate for anti-abortion just because his mom couldn't afford to do it. And I thought this was a really intense scene for one, the show, because I didn't think the show was going to lean into this territory. But this guy is extremely intrusive, and he doesn't even ask. I mean, he gives straight up 2 to 3 scenarios of things that parents can't do or something because they got kids or something like that. And he goes through like very specific scenarios that I was just surprised that he was gonna bring up. And he was like, "Oh, you can't go to the movies because you got kids. What is that, the worst thing?" And it's like, "You're in a robbery, lady. Like, this is some of the worst things in your life." And I guess on the spectrum of things, yeah, your life being threatened is probably much worse than, having to change a couple diapers. But this guy seems to have he just he wants all of his perspective to be absorbed in whole by this lady that he barely knows, by Monica. Like, this guy needs to back up. Denver needs to chill with regardless of what side you're on. He gives her the guilt trip around, but he gives her money. She walks away, and as soon as she's walked away, douchebag pulls up. She walks right by him, and that dinger goes right off. Says shing, and douchebag almost looks pleased to have found the individual that had gotten this that had gotten the cell phone, and he's like pleasantly just starts unzipping her robbery outfit and goes in under her shirt to grab clothes and not clothes, cash, loads of cash. And it was just cash that Denver had just given her. And this looked really bad in the douche guy's eyes. And especially, she's just sobbing. And then he gets the phone, and it was just really bad. It was hard to watch. It was extremely intrusive. And he says, "Kill her." He tells Denver to kill her and make it fast. And the way it was going on, it kind of elongated a little bit, but it really teetered on whether it was going to do it or not. Sorry, I'm losing my voice. Yeah, so I was surprised that it went as far as it did. But I don't think they're going to kill her. I really liked how they he picked her up and he said, you know, he's you're coming with me kind of thing. And the editing into it was really intense. I was like, oh fuck. It was like ch-ch-ch with these black flashes, black screens, coming up into the next scene. And I was like, damn. But I don't think we have not seen a body, and she's taken in the bathroom, and we still have not seen a body. So we got to keep that in mind. Tokyo sees Rio is hurt and begins taking out cameras. She's going rogue. She goes rogue. She goes all around the men taking out cameras, and then all of a sudden the big motherfuckers show up at the main office, and everywhere it's a big standoff. At this point, it's editing in between Monica and Denver and Tokyo and Douche Guy and Professor. I thought the editing was really well. It keeps the pace up. Really, this pacing in the last three episodes have been really good. I haven't been binging this show terribly fast because I'm trying to get Kelly on this, so we'll see if that happens. No promises, but I'm sure she's gonna have some big things to say about it if she does. Yeah, I really like the editing in between this. I don't think Denver's gonna kill Monica. I don't think he can kill a pregnant lady. Given his stance on anti-abortion and how strong it is, I don't think he's gonna kill a baby and a mother. It just is a double whammy. The professor explains how Rio and Tokyo are all over the news, and their identities have been given up, basically. And it's like, it's not looking so good. At one point, I thought there was a. We could literally lose Rio and Tokyo, but since we're getting a narration from Tokyo, I'm not even sure if that's possible if we could lose her. So that's something we have to keep in mind. So we did see the gun go off in Denver's hands, and it was a pretty intense scene by the way it was going, but based on it, I don't know if that means that there's a body. We did not see Monica laying there with a bullet in her, and I've seen so many different types of media where I thought that someone was dead. I've even seen people that were basically dead and they just bring them right back, right before your eyes. So I always say if you didn't see the body, they're probably not dead. So you really gotta check it. But yeah, so thank you for joining me. Thank you for listening to the Lucky Dog Podcast. We're lucky to have you. And rate, share, subscribe, 5 stars. Let us know we're doing okay. Let us know we're doing not so great. Let us know something. Just give us some update. Let us know you're out there. Out there. Out there. check out our other podcasts. We have movies, TV, podcasts, anime, cartoons, television shows. And we take recommendations, comments, concerns, anything else. Let us know at theluckydogpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening and take it easy.